This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we've been deliberately testing your patience and tolerance this week. I don't know if you're aware of it. But in each of three shows this week, we have aired longer conversations than normal about the city of Aleppo and the crisis in Syria. We have deliberately sought out voices who can testify directly as to their own frustration and anger and sadness regarding the lack of movement and progress in a war that has already claimed hundreds of thousands of lives and has trapped tens of thousands of civilians. Earlier this week, you may remember a UN refugee official pleaded on our air at length for people to listen. We let him speak, just as we let Basil Marshall, an expatriate refugee now in Germany, tell his long, passionate, convoluted story. We think that this may be the only way to really grasp the depth of what's happening now in Syria. The quick TV pictures day after day don't convey enough. As of this week, 4,742 refugees were reported dead or missing in 2016, making it the deadliest year on record for migrants crossing the Mediterranean, even when approximately 650,000 fewer people attempted the journey than in 2015. Imagine such a journey. What you are hearing is a dramatic rescue from the chilly waters of the Aegean Sea. Daphne Matsiraki wanted to get past the random pictures she was seeing from Syria and Greece when she decided to use her Greek heritage as a way to gain access for her and her cameras to the rescue boats of the Greek Coast Guard around the island of Lesbos, which is a landing spot for refugees from Syria and all over the Middle East. Matsiraki was born and raised in Athens, but has most recently been living in the United States. Her short film, 4.1 Miles, follows Coast Guard Captain Kyriakos Papadopoulos through the heart of the crisis, attempting to save thousands of lives crossing that 4.1-mile stretch between the island of Lesbos and Turkey.
The Coast Guard captains were, in every kind of way, in the epicenter of this. They are the point where two worlds meet, and they meet under such severe circumstances. I found out that this Coast Guard captain and all the four Coast Guard captains that are on the island have no training to respond to this kind of emergency. Their previous life was very peaceful and easy, and their job was just routine border patrol in the peaceful waters of Greece. And suddenly, they found themselves caught in this huge crisis, in the biggest refugee crisis since World War II. They were completely unprepared, not trained, without any equipment. My main character, Kyriakos Papadopoulos, a captain of one of the four small Coast Guard boats, has no CPR training. His boat is very small and doesn't have the necessary equipment to respond to something like that. They don't even have thermal cameras. But in this vast emergency, he has no other option but to respond.
What did the emergency bring out of Kyriakos? It makes him larger than life in your film.
Yeah, exactly. Kyriakos is suddenly caught in the middle of between life and death. He becomes suddenly this modern day hero with no exaggeration. I have never seen somebody who gives their life and their soul in every moment, every day, because he feels this responsibility. And I find it quite rare in a way, because we don't necessarily respond as citizens and as human beings to the needs of our fellow human beings in our society. And I felt that Kyriakos was emblematic of the opposite. He responded, and he still is responding, in the most brave and heroic way that a person can.
When did you know that you were at that point in the crisis where you were seeing the details and seeing the faces of the people, and they weren't other people, they were human beings just like you? When did you feel that you were right up into the face of the crisis?
Well, the point where I felt I was really in the middle of this was when I went on the Coast Guard boat. I really didn't know what to expect. Kyriakos got a call that there was an incident. One of these small dinghy boats, the motor had stopped in the middle of the sea, like many of them do all the time. So we had to go and find this dinghy boat. And on the way there, it was so stressful. And you can see it in the film. They don't even know where they're going. They're looking in the sea. And then suddenly, we see a boat, a tiny little inflatable boat, where it's meant to hold 5-6 people, packed with 80 people, 100 people, something like that, packed with small kids and mothers, and everyone being so scared. And whilst the crew was trying to get these people up, a mother with two small boys fell in the water. And the cold waters of the Aegean Sea, the waves were big, it was the middle of the winter, the water is very cold, and these people have never seen the sea before. They don't know how to swim, most likely, and I saw the fear in their eyes. I've never seen people so scared in my life, and it wasn't just because they were scared because of the journey. It felt like they were traumatized, deeply traumatized, because these people were coming from war. I've never felt so close to war, and I've never seen kids so scared in my life. And that was very, very scary, and that made me feel so helpless and so small. And when I realized that this was not just one boat, but this was happening every minute, it was people coming in masses, scared people coming, and they were risking everything. And these people, after talking to so many of them, they felt that they were going to die one way or another. So it was just, for me, unreal to see people in that stage, in the waters of my peaceful country.
Daphne, what happened to the woman who fell in the water with the two boys?
The crew had to put everyone else first, as safely as they could, up on the Coast Guard boat. The Coast Guard boat is tiny, pulling literally people with their hands. They have no equipment, and you can see it. And then go to the woman with the two small children. The woman was fine. The two small children were brought on board unconscious, and it took 10 to 15 minutes to go to the dock, and there was only at that point there were only two ambulances on the island, and the main hospital of the island is an hour and a half away from that small port, that small village that you see in the film. So we waited for about 45 minutes for the ambulances to come, or an hour. And in the meanwhile, Kyriakos and the rest of the crew were trying to give CPR to these kids without even knowing how to do CPR. They've learned, I guess, in the process. The girl regained consciousness as we were waiting for the ambulance. The boy was unconscious. Kyriakos put him in the ambulance. A few hours after that, we learned that the boy was still alive. But unfortunately, he passed away 2 days after that in the ER. And that's who I've dedicated this film to, that young little boy. He was 7 years old. And, of course, the rest of the kids have lost their lives in this tragic journey.
How did you keep hold of the camera during all of this?
It was very hard. I had to keep reminding myself all the time that I was on this boat because I had to tell this story the way it is. I owed it to the people, to all these refugees and migrants, to tell this story in the most fair way possible and to give them justice. They wouldn't give access to any filmmaker or any journalist on the Coast Guard boat. So in a way, I had a huge privilege of being there. So that gave me a lot of strength.
Is there a picture, a face that you didn't capture that you can still remember?
Yeah, for sure. There were all these small children that I remember. They're not in the film. I remember one time I was done shooting. It was night and I was going back at my nice hotel, and which was right on the beach. And at this moment, we saw a small dinghy boat in the middle of the night coming out safely. However, it was coming out in the middle of the night from a journey that was taking them 5 hours to cross from Turkey to Greece. Normally with a speedboat, it would be 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And I remember a mother coming out of this boat with a tiny, small baby. It must have been 2 months old, which was soaking wet and freezing. It was, the baby was frozen. And they just came out and we were just unloading the gear from the car. And I said, okay, just come in the car. And I didn't know where to take these people. There was nowhere to take these people. And so I took them to a cafe nearby and I bought them tea and I helped her, I helped the mother undress the baby and gave them some of my clothes because I didn't have any other clothes. And I still felt so helpless because that was just one mother with one child that I helped. There were thousands of people that needed help. Tens and hundreds of thousands of people. And I knew that there were more people that they were trying to escape war, that they were in the beginning of their journey, and that they had this ahead of them without knowing what they had to face.
What did this teach you about what it must be like to face war in your own home?
It's history repeated in a lot of ways. The island of Lesbos has historically been welcoming refugees. Jewish people did the same route. Greek people fled the western shores of Turkey in 1922 and went to Lesbos in the same ways. The father of Kyriakos actually is a refugee himself from 1922 from Smyrna. And I asked him, how do you feel seeing all these people coming to your island? And he said to me, I see myself. There isn't any worse feeling than being a refugee, than having to flee your home, having to leave everything behind and come with nothing to a different country where you don't have anything, and people often treat you as second class or third class citizen. So for me, this film, of course, was about the refugee crisis in Europe and these people, but it was really about the responsibility that we all have as members of the society, our responsiveness. And I would say that we really need to rethink the choices that we make and how we act and how we treat our fellow human beings, because maybe it wouldn't happen to us in the same way. I don't think that people in Syria thought that it would happen to them either.
Well, Dafti, it's been great speaking with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Dafni Matsiaraki is the director and producer of 4.1 Miles. The film is part of the Emmy-winning New York Times Op Doc series of short documentaries.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.